Well, we're told in 2 Corinthians 4, in fact, turn there if you would, or maybe the verses will come up here for us magically. But in 2 Corinthians 4, we're told actually back in verse 14, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. And skipping forward to verse 16, therefore, knowing what God has in store for us, knowing what he has promised us, knowing the resurrection is coming, the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, knowing where we came from, Eden, and then the curse and all that was lost to humanity, but God will one day reverse the curse, and through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his redemptive work, the whole creation that groans with longing for the redemption that will come with the resurrection of God's children that Paul talks about in Romans 8. One day, all will be changed. We will live with our Lord, bringing glory to him, worshiping him forever, serving him. It says in Revelation 22, the curse shall be no more. And then it says his servants will serve him. A place of meaningful activity. Servants have things to do, places to go, people to see. That's what's in store for us. So then in this passage in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart, verse 16. Though outwardly we are wasting away, in other words, we do live life under the curse. Things are not yet as they one day will be. It's coming. It's the already but not yet. Yeah, we have a taste, the foretaste, the down payment of God's Spirit within us. He's transforming work in our lives. But there is much yet to be realized that will be realized at the return of Christ and then the setting up of his eternal kingdom. We don't lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. God is doing a work of grace in our hearts through his word, through our fellow believers, through a dependence upon him. Lord, what shall we do today, even as we face difficulty and challenge and suffering? And then he says in verse 17, for our light and momentary afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So you have afflictions that you experience. They're very real. It's a realistic view of the Christian life. It's not everything is okay. It's not okay. We live in a world under the curse. But these afflictions are light compared to the eternal weight of glory. What is in store for us that we will experience for all eternity far outweighs. So it's a difference in weight, and it's also a difference in duration because they are light and momentary afflictions. They will pass. One day, the time of afflictions will be completely behind us. And what we will have is an eternal weight of glory. And in the presence of Christ, we will be able to, in retrospect, look back and see the reality of the promise of Romans 8:28 that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we'll be able to see in retrospect, God, you really did weave this together for my good. And sometimes I could see that in this life. I mean, we saw it in our family with the lawsuits and with all. It was a pretty dark time in our life. But we saw in quick order how God was reversing this and taking what men had intended for evil and using it for what God all along intended for good. We'll be able to see that to be true of all of our lives when we're in his presence. And then finally it says, the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So focus your eyes on that unseen world, like Elisha in 2 Kings 2 or 2 Kings 6, where he says, open your servant's eyes, and then the servant sees the warriors and the horses and the chariots. We need to open our eyes to that unseen world that actually is revealed to us in his word. The way that that connects to fathers is, to move to the second part of the question, really, if you think about what God has called us to as dads, fathers, do not exasperate your children. This is Ephesians 6, 4. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so what this means is don't frustrate your kids by kind of swooping in with all of these demands where you're not really involved in their lives except now they're in trouble, and then you descend from Mount Sinai or Mount Olympus to choose your mountain, and you come down and you throw the lightning bolts and then you withdraw from their lives. That's not what it means to be a dad. That's going to exasperate your children. Instead, be engaged with your children. Be interested in their world. That's one of the things you see in the novel Courageous and the movie Courageous, is a man who is not paying attention to his teenage son. And then he starts doing something his teenage son loves to do, which is run, and the dad does not like to run at all. But just by running with his son, he's entering into his son's world. And now they have conversations, and now he's there with his son, and now he can correct his son in a context of positive affirmation in which he is bringing him up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I think this is one of the keys for dads, to be there